Today we're carrying on with our Bible study. We are looking at Matthew chapter 12 verses 33 to 35. Matthew chapter 12 verses 33 to 35 this evening. Now last week we were looking at Matthew chapter 12, I believe verses 22 to 32, and we treated that over 3 weeks, and we're looking at how the Pharisees were, harassing Christ because he healed someone who was demon-possessed. And we went through that in a lot of detail. So for today, we're carrying on from there. And like I mentioned, we're doing Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 35. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me there. And we'll read together. So let me read, but just follow on. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 35. It says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruits. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So Jesus was saying this to the Pharisees, as we looked at last week from verses 22 to 32 of Matthew chapter 12. Jesus healed a man who was blind and he was dumb, and he was also possessed with an evil spirit. So Jesus healed him, cast out the spirit out, and the Pharisees were accusing Christ that he did that using the power of the devil. And you know, Christ said a lot of things to them. So following on from there, Jesus turned to them and he was telling them something that I think is quite interesting. He says that he used the analogy of a tree, we'll look at that in a minute, to describe this particular scenario with the Pharisees, to describe what was actually going on with them. And we'll look at that tonight, but I'll look at the analogy of the tree and fruit from another perspective as well, that will really help us tonight and help anyone who will listen to this in the future. So tonight I'm calling this portion of scripture that we're looking at, knowing the real person, knowing the real person. And I'm going to divide it into three sections. So the first section I'll look at today is what I've described slightly earlier, the analogy of a tree and its fruits, to describe the motivation of the Pharisees in this context. So the analogy of a tree, I don't know if you guys, I'll just, when I was, you know, writing up this, a number of things came to my mind. I remember when we used to live in West London, we had a tree at the back of our house, and it was quite a huge tree. Now, if ordinarily you went into our backyard and you saw that tree without the fruit, and it was just, I think, is it spring that all the leaves fall out and it hasn't got any fruit, or maybe it's even winter that happens. So if you go to the back, if you went to the back of our house in those days, you would notice that there was this huge tree there, but without the fruit, you couldn't actually tell what kind of tree it was, because it just looked like any other tree. And I was also thinking that if you went into the woods, I don't know, or if you went into a forest, depending on what part of the world you're in, you would see loads and loads of trees, and you might not be able to tell, is this an apple tree? Is this an orange tree? Is this like a, you know, you probably wouldn't be able to tell, because all trees look alike, so to speak. But if you came across an apple tree, the way you would recognize, if you're not like one of these botanist people that can tell the type of tree something is by just the cracks in the trunk of the tree. If you came across an apple tree, you would know, because it would have like apple fruit. If it was like an orange tree, you would know if it had oranges just on the branches. So Jesus was making a very interesting analogy using the tree and its fruit. And the main point he was making here, which we'll look at in more detail, is the fact that even though trees might look similar and you might not be able to tell what type of tree it is, once the fruit come out from that tree, it gives away what kind of tree it is. straight away, and you wouldn't have to wonder again. So that's kind of like the analogy that Jesus Christ was making here. Now, so the first thing on the analogy of the tree and the fruits that Jesus was referring to here is he was using it to describe the motivation of the Pharisees. So what do I mean by that? So what Christ was saying in this instance was that what the Pharisees were saying and what they were doing in terms of the way they were accusing Jesus really was pointing to what was going on inside of them. Now, ordinarily speaking, if anybody was watching from outside, looking at the Pharisees speaking to Christ, they probably might have thought that, oh, these guys are the religious leaders. They're really interested in protecting the customs of Moses, and Jesus is trying to, like, you know, make things a bit, change things. But no, Jesus said, if you're going to know what a person's motive is, or you want to really know what's inside of them, then the symptoms are just, you would know by the fruits that the person is bearing. We'll look at what that means in context. So Jesus was just using this analogy to indicate that there was something really inside of the Pharisees in their heart that was motivating them to speak like this. And that was indicating the type of fruit they had. So again, Jesus was pointing us to something that we've noticed right from the beginning of Matthew, that Jesus looks at the heart of a person. It's not really what you say per se, but what you say indicates the kind of things that you're thinking in your mind. But Christ is interested, God is interested in the heart of a person. Now, if you look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The second one I'll look at is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And it says there, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Talking about when Samuel went to anoint a king in the house of Jesse. It says, the Lord does not look at things people look at. It says, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesus was using this analogy of the tree and the fruit to say that God looks at the heart of a person, and really it is the heart of a person. It is your core. It is what is inside that is the real you. And based on what is inside of you, as in what represents your core person, that is what will bear fruit. That is what will cause certain types of fruit to, you know, to show in your life. We'll look at what fruit means in this context. Now, so the other thing I was just going to mention here as well is that when Jesus was referring to fruit in this case, one might come to the conclusion that you have a tree that has fruit. An orange tree will have oranges on it. An apple tree will have apples on it. And if we're saying this is depicting the kind of person that an individual is, we might jump to the conclusions that fruit is actually referring to the behavior of a person. So the Bible says that by their fruits we'll know them. Now, when I'm talking about fruit here, I'm not talking about whether a person does good or bad, or they are behaving badly, or they're behaving in a way or in a manner that is good. So if you see a person who's acting badly, you might jump to the conclusion and say, this behavior is that person's fruit, which indicates that they have a bad tree. But not necessarily in this case. Yes, someone's behavior might give us a clue as to what's in their heart, but not always. Why? Because you might see a person who behaves perfectly well from a moral perspective. They're nice, they act kindly, they don't say a bad word, but in the inside of them, they're worse than Adolf Hitler. So fruit here is not referring to the behavior of a person. Do you get what I mean? It's not referring to the behavior of a person. Fruit in this instance points to the core of the person. And when I say the core of the person, I would say it points to a number of things. It points to their core beliefs. Yeah, their core beliefs, their worldview, and their underlining motivations. The actual tree in them is their core beliefs and their worldview and what really motivates them. Now, let me give us an example to just buttress this point. And I'm not talking about good or bad behavior. You might have a person whose worldview, whose belief system, or whose underlining motivation is money is the answer to everything. So I must get as much money as I can so that my life will be good. So in this instance, that person is basing their whole core is based on money. It's based on the fact that they trust money so much that they believe that money is what can help them or help solve all their problems. So that's what's in their heart as a tree. Now, what could be a fruit to indicate that this person is thinking in that manner? Well, it could be that the person takes on 3 jobs and they work 20 hours a day, not because they really need it. If they had 1 job, it would still be fine. They would still be able to do all they want to do. But because money is the underlining thing that drives them and their reliance on money is what drives them, then they work 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, the fruit that money is the underlying core belief in that person's life, the fruit of it is that their actions are the fruit of that. So their actions are not bad, so to speak. So it's not good or bad, but if you sit down and have a conversation with someone like that, you now begin to find out from the things they say and the things, what really matters to them. That for this person, it seems like the only thing that matters to them is making money. Why? Because all their conversations, when I'm speaking with them, their core values are determined by how much money they have or how much money they think they can have. Fruit here will be the person's actions to fulfill their core beliefs. Do you understand what I mean? Now, that's just a general example. I want to look at doctrine and core beliefs from the perspective of the Pharisees as well. Now, your core beliefs, your worldview, and what really motivates you is deep inside your heart. You understand what I mean? It's not something that anybody can see. Yes, you might give some indications from your actions, from the things you say, which would denote that, oh, this person's core beliefs are this. But let's look at it from a more, I'll use the term, religious perspective, religious views, or views about faith. Now, for these Pharisees, Jesus identified something about them, that they had a particular doctrine, a particular belief system that informed everything that they said, mostly. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 12, Matthew chapter 16, verse 12, it says, then they understood. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 12, it says, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So what we're seeing here is that the Sadducees had a belief system. They had a doctrinal system. They had a worldview that was informed by all sorts of things. It was informed by pride, position, so on and so forth. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 20, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 20, it says, watch out for the false prophets. So here, Jesus is talking about false prophets. So let's read this. It says, watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And I'll stop there. So Jesus said something about false prophets here. He says they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. So this is saying that the tree itself is, Jesus is referring to a tree here as an analogy as well. The tree is the person inside. And in the case of this false prophet, Jesus says they will come to you like, they will come to you in sheep's clothing. That means in terms of the behavior of this people, behavior of someone that has bad, that is a bad tree, it might be very good behavior. Jesus typifies this people, false prophets, as coming in sheep's clothing, which means they will look like Christians. They will be very nice. They will be very humble. They will be very gentle. But inwardly, they have a doctrine. They have a worldview. And what's the worldview of the false prophet? Well, the worldview of the false prophet is come into the church, lie, dupe as many people as possible, and, you know, run off with the cash. That's their motivation. That's their worldview. So that's looking at it in the context of the analogy that Christ gave us here, the analogy of the tree and the fruit, saying that the tree is the actual core of a person. That's what motivates their thinking. That's what motivates their actions. That's what motivates the things that they do. And the fruit are those symptoms or those things that will tell us what that person is actually about. And oftentimes it might be in the things that they say. It might be in the things that they place priority on. Do you understand? So Jesus said that you can't know a tree just by looking at it. It's the fruit that that tree produces. And we said we're looking at fruit in terms of a person's worldviews, a person's beliefs. So that's the analogy of the tree and the fruit. But I want to leave the Pharisees now and come back to just every human being. I have two more points to make. So the first point I've made here is I've looked at the analogy of the tree and the fruit. You know, apple tree, apple fruit, banana tree. Bananas grow on trees. I'm not quite sure, but I'll leave that to the agriculturist. Orange tree, orange fruit. Jesus said an orange tree, before I make my point, an orange tree cannot, he didn't say maybe it could, it cannot bear apples. It's just not possible. So an orange tree will always bear oranges. Now, the second point I want to make is this. I'm going to leave the Pharisees alone and come to the general, should I say, humanity. Now, the second point I want to make is this. Every individual that is born is automatically made a bad tree. All right? Every individual that is born without their choice, without consultation with that human being, is made a bad tree. How do I know that? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So every human being that is born, they come in as fresh babies. Sin grabs them and makes them. Jesus said, you make a tree bad. He didn't say you give birth to a bad tree. If you look at Matthew chapter 12, he didn't say you give birth, a tree gives birth to a bad tree. No. He says, you make a tree bad and it is bad. You make it good and it is good. Which means that the fact, or should I say, the choice, or the, let me not say the choice. That means the state of a tree is independent of that tree. It doesn't make itself good, neither does it make itself bad. Something makes it bad and something makes it good. So the second point here is that everybody is born, that is born, is made a bad tree. And we read Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Now, the second point, well, still talking about that, the fact that everyone that is born into this earth is made a bad tree by sin. So what that tells us is this. Every human being that is not born again is a bad tree and is not righteous. Now, Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Now, someone might look at me and say, hang on, isn't that a bit harsh? Am I saying that even, you know, my boss at work, or I have some nice friends that are not Christians and they behave well, they're, you know, quite polite, they don't do anything dodgy. So Pastor Benson, are you saying they're bad? No, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm saying that they're bad trees according to what the Bible says. Now, they might do good things, but inwardly the Bible says they're bad trees. Not that they behave badly or they don't do nice things. It says inwardly they are bad trees, and the fruit that they will produce, again, fruit is not behavior necessarily, the opinions that they will have, the core beliefs that they will have as being non-Christians, non-believers, will be bad fruit. Now, what is bad fruit? Bad fruit will be things like, well, God doesn't exist. Bad fruit will be things like, there's no heaven or hell. That's bad fruit. Bad fruit might be, I can do whatever I want, and who is God? So, not necessarily whether they behave good or not, no. I'm saying that everyone that is not born again, the Bible tells us, is made bad by sin. So that's the second point that I want to make here tonight. But saying that, we realize that that Matthew chapter 12 that we read, verse 33, it says, make a tree good. If you fast forward, it says, and it'll be good. Make a tree bad, and the fruit will be bad. But I'm not just going to stop at the fact that every human being that is born is made a bad tree by sin. The good news is, even though sin makes a person a bad tree without asking for their permission, it's just something that we've inherited. The great news tonight, well, not tonight, the great news is this: Jesus can make a bad tree good. Jesus is the only one that can make a bad tree good. He's the only person that can make an individual who was born bad because of sin, make them good. Do you understand what I mean? So if we look at Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, it says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Which means, even though someone is born, you and I were born and we're made bad trees, bringing forth bad fruit, Christ has made us, and anyone who is born again and who has accepted Christ, he has made us good trees. So what that means is, if you were a guava tree previously, if you're an orange tree previously, and now Jesus has changed you, you can be like, choose a tree, a nice one. You can be a mango tree, whatever. But what I'm just saying is that something that is impossible for the tree to do, something that is impossible for the best scientist in the world to do, something that is impossible for anyone on earth to do, which is, you take a tree and you change the DNA of that tree and say, I'm going to change you from being an orange tree. I need more apples in my house, Mr. Tree. So I'm going to inject you with this syringe, mutate you, genetically modify you, and tomorrow you start producing apples so I can have more apple juice to drink. My kids always finish all the apples. Do you understand? You can't do that. So it's an impossible task. That's why it is the same thing that as a human being, it is impossible for you to change yourself. And I get this a lot. The mistake that a lot of people make, the mistake that I made a long time ago, the mistake that a lot of people still make is this. Oh, God will never accept me until I become a better person. Pastor Benson, when I start behaving better, then I will come to Christ. It's like the tree, the apple tree, telling you that, oh, when I become an orange tree, then I will become better. You can't do it. It's not possible. It's something that has to happen supernaturally. It's something that happens supernaturally. So what I'm saying here is this. The good news is that Jesus makes bad trees good. That as we give our lives to Christ, as anyone does so, they become a good tree. So it's not about you changing yourself to please God. You can't do it. It's not about becoming a better person to please God. You cannot do it. Why? A tree cannot change itself. So I'm going to leave that second point. So the first point I made was Jesus used the analogy of the tree and the fruit to describe what was going on with the Pharisees. We now looked at the fact that every human being that is born is made a bad tree by sin. Every human being, no exception. But that the good news is that the thing that is impossible for the tree to do, to change itself from an apple tree to an orange tree, the thing that science cannot do, the thing that no human being can do, Christ can do by changing that individual or you and I into good trees. And we can bear good fruit. Now, the last part I'm going to look at tonight is this, which is the third part. So you might be looking at me and you're wondering or maybe thinking about a number of things. One thing that comes to my mind that one might have as a believer, as a Christian, is this. Hang on, Pastor Benson. If you're saying I'm good tree, man, I still bear loads of bad fruit. Well, that's understandable. So if I'm a Christian and you're saying now Christ has made me a good tree and I'm righteous in Christ, not because of anything I've done, how come I still appear to be bearing bad fruit in terms of my thinking, my belief system? Yeah, I believe Christ saved me, but I still have all these thoughts, things that appear to be bearing bad fruit in me, and I'm still a Christian. What's the problem? Well, the truth of the matter is that there's no problem at all. Irrespective of how you behave, you have good tree. But now the question is this: you are a good tree. If I'm a good tree, why do I have bad fruit hanging off? If I'm an apple tree, why do I have oranges, you know, hanging off my branches? I'm not an orange tree, I'm an apple tree. Why is that happening? I'll tell you. It says, the first thing I want to say is this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new has come, the old has gone, the new is here. The King James Version says, if anyone be in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, as someone who is born again, the tree inside of you has been changed. However, imagine that Jesus was coming along into the woods and you're an apple tree there and Jesus walked past you and he said, from now on, this is an analogy, by the way, turns to you as a tree, the apple tree, and says, do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in me? And you say, Christ, I believe in you. And Christ says, there, you're born again. Now, what happens is this, that tree trunk changes to an orange tree. However, that change is internal. So on the branch, it still has. So even though the tree that was an apple tree is now an orange tree, the leaves are still there, the branches are still there, and apples are still hanging on, but it's an orange. So the person who has become born again, straight away, you become a good tree. You become, if I use this analogy, an orange tree. You used to be an apple tree. But that branch is still hanging there with apples there. So when you look to the right and you say, hang on, I'm now an orange tree. Hey, I've still got some apples hanging on here. That's what's happening to the Christian who has been born again and they've been changed internally and they're looking at their branches and they're like, hang on, I'm an orange tree now, but I've still got these apples hanging on my branch. That's what's happening when you're having these questions in your mind. So the question is this: how do you change? How do you change? Can you, as the tree, shake yourself till that branch falls off? I don't think so. Try it. I don't know if you've ever seen a tree that says, you know what, I'm an apple tree and I don't like that fruit that's on my branch. And they begin to shake by themselves. No wind assistance, nobody, you know, no tornado. And they shake. That branch must fall off. I hope this thing doesn't go out of focus the way I'm moving. That branch must fall off and it shakes. What happens? Nothing. The same thing with you and I. When we accept Christ, and we have things in our life that, you know, we're not really happy about. It's like old bad habits. Do you know what we try and do? We shake. We shake ourselves. We fast. We worry. We do all sorts of things. We make ourselves promises. I will not do this again. I promise you, Jesus. And we're, what, do you know what we're doing? We're shaking. The tree is shaking. And the more we're shaking, the branch is still there. Like, oh my goodness, I'm shaking so much. I'm praying. I'm doing all this thing, but why is this thing? Nothing happens. So, how do we change? How do we get rid of that unwanted branch? Very simple. Extremely simple. Probably simpler than you might have imagined. We'll look at a couple of scriptures here. Two things. The first thing is this, John chapter 15, verse 7, 8. Jesus said something. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So the first thing is this. I'll explain what that means in a minute. Jesus says that if you abide in him, what does that mean? It says, there's another portion of scripture that says, Jesus says that you are the branches. Do you understand? It says, I am the vine, Jesus said, and you are the branches. So how do you get rid of that apple tree? The apple that's still hanging. It's very simple. You relax as the now orange tree. And you rest in Christ. So what happens is this. Jesus comes to live inside of you. I'm going to use the analogy of the tree. So it's like Jesus coming into that apple tree. And that apple tree has now been changed into an orange tree. But it's still got that branch hanging. The Bible says, Jesus said, what you have to do is to abide in him, which is come to the realization that Jesus now lives in you. The Holy Spirit now lives in you. So as you become conscious that you are a new person in Christ, something begins to happen. Jesus inside of you, I'll use the analogy of the tree, begins to grow from inside of you and begins to sprout new branches. Now, as those new branches are sprouting, because Jesus is causing those branches to sprout, it will break off all those old apple tree branches, not by your strength, but because Jesus is doing something on the inside of you. And as Jesus sprouts those new branches will push off those old apple tree fruits and they will just fall off automatically. And you will see new branches with oranges on them, who you really are. So the first thing is abiding in Christ, becoming conscious that Christ is in you, focusing on knowing Christ inside of you, focusing on knowing what Christ has done in your life, focusing on loving Christ, on loving God. As you do this, Christ will grow in the inside of you and he will, you know, sprout new branches and break off all those branches. Do you understand what I mean? Now, how do we do this from a practical perspective? Apart from the fact that we should remind ourselves that we're now born again, we're new creatures in Christ and focus on Christ, there is something that is quite important as well. And this is focusing on the Word of God to renew our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says that we should renew our minds with the Word of God. Do you understand? So as you do these two things, which is not shake yourself and worry yourself into a frenzy, you know, but realizing that Christ has made me born again, I'm a new tree, focus on God, then focus on the Word of God. Read the Word of God and let the Word of God inform you of who you are. And as you do that, guess what's going to happen? The tree that you are, the new orange tree that you are, will flourish. Christ will sprout new branches. All those apple tree things will fall off. By the way, I love apples, so that's just an analogy. So I'm going to end there tonight. So what am I saying tonight? Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and he says, you guys, I'm paraphrasing, he used the analogy of a tree and fruit. I'm not surprised that this is your opinion about me. I'm not surprised that you guys are saying these things about me, because it's really what is inside of you that is coming out. So using the analogy of the tree and the fruit to describe the motivations of the Pharisees. So the second thing we looked at was the fact that every human being is born is made a bad tree by sin. But the good news is Jesus can make you and I, has made everyone that is born again a good tree. And the third thing we looked at was the fact that a Christian might say, hang on, I'm bearing some bad fruit. No, you're not bearing bad fruit. You've got old fruit still hanging on you. And if you let Christ grow in you, if you let Christ, you know, develop in you, no stress at all, and you focus on the Word of God, guess what? Like I said, all those old bad habits will just disappear and you won't even know how they disappeared. But as you focus on God, that will happen to you. Let us pray.